Omar Jobo, Rustavelli Avenue. This is BeelPod.com coming to you from our studios high atop Prospero's Books and Cafe. Today is Thursday, the 22nd of March. On this date in 1765, the British Parliament passed the Stamp Act that introduced a tax to be levied directly on its American colonies, picking everybody off and leading to the revolution. In 1945, the Arab League is founded in Cairo. In 1968, General Westmoreland leaves Vietnam for good. In 1972, 40 years ago today, the Equal Rights Amendment passed in the U.S. Senate, aiming to give women equal rights in the United States. It was sent to the states for ratification. 30 passed it, but it remained 8 short of what was needed, so never took force. In 2004, Ahmed Yassin, co-founder and leader of Hamas, and 2 bodyguards and 9 civilian bystanders are killed in the Gaza Strip when hit by an Israeli Air Force Hellfire missile. In 2006, ETA, the ETA, the Armed Basque Separatist Group, declares a permanent ceasefire. Today's birthdays are in 1887, Chico Marx, and in 1931, William Shatner. Today it's me, and a curtain call, once again, for William Dunbar, you know.
Last hurrah! Couldn't stay away from that one week.
That's what they say. Cameron is still on some kind of, academic sabbatical that we don't really understand, but should be back soon. So, the Chamber of Control, or what's it now called?
The Supreme Audit. Organ of Power and Destiny.
Is accused members of Georgian Dream of receiving money illegally from Ivanishvili's private account. The Chamber has questioned 43 members of the movement. The Ministry of Internal Affairs stated on Friday that it interrogated people who did not show up when asked by the Chamber of Control, and discuss involvement and payments with Georgian Dream. Head of the Chamber of Control, Levon Bezhashvili, stated that the accusations made by Gaila and some opponents regarding intimidation of Georgian Dream members in the regions are exaggerated. However, it might have been better if they had announced the process in advance so that, and I quote, the expectations had been more adequate, end quote. Georgian Young Lawyers Association has released tips for those who get questioned by the Chamber of Control on tribuna.ge. Earlier, as you'll remember, Cartu Bank was fined by more than 800,000 lari due to allegedly illegal party donations.
Well, haven't they also just fined the Georgian Dream an extra 2.5 million for these so-called these illegal donations? Because Ivanishvili was reportedly, according to the Chamber of Control, paying the salaries of Georgian Dream members directly, which is illegal because he's not a Georgian citizen, and they're fining Georgian Dream to the tune of $2.5 million or lari, I can't remember. But we're putting the cart before the horse here. So the Chamber of Control, the Supreme, is about to be emasculated in this regard because the government are changing the law. They clearly listened.
Again?
Yes, they clearly listened to the podcast.
The party law or the
The party financing law, yes.
Well, there's different. There's a party law and the finance law.
This is the finance law.
Okay.
They've listened to the podcast and they've agreed with us. And they now say that, what they've listened to is they've listened to Geiler and TI and the This Affects You Too campaign.
That would be the hardest working NGO.
Yeah, of course. And they have agreed to amend the law, taking out the directly or indirectly sentence, which basically completely made everybody potentially liable. They've also stopped it from applying to political and electoral groups, and now it's only electoral groups with declared electoral goals, where it was previously groups with declared political and electoral goals, which is a big deal. So it's only people standing for election and not NGOs, essentially, that are
What I have heard from the director of TI, Eka Gyodi, and her conversations with the Rishal Yu of Parliament, Paliko Kubalashvili, that it's the party law that they have taken the NGO amendments on. And I have to admit, I'm not particularly well acquainted with each of those, but the NGOs had a lot of things to say about that, and they took the overwhelming majority of the stuff on board, which is quite nice, and good of them to do that.
I mean, and almost unheard of, by the way, the Parliament completely caves. The ruling party, I should say.
The question is why. I mean,
because the American ambassador went public saying this is a whole load of hooey and changed it.
I don't know what the statement was. I do know that Thursday at 11:46 p.m. he posted on Facebook, concerned about the controversy surrounding the Chamber of Control's recent activities, the lack of clear guidelines regarding its work to implement campaign finance legislation will not increase public confidence in this institution or in a competitive campaign environment. That's pretty clear. So I don't know whether it was the U.S. or NGOs or whatever else. But I don't know. In general, I think that the government seems to be... hearing the voice of reason and so far so good.
I mean, you know, it was a ridiculous idea. It was badly executed. It looked incredibly bad and it kicked up a stink. And they've climbed down, which is good. And so I can't help but think that this last round of...
I don't like to say they climbed down. I like to say that it illustrates strength and prudence.
Sorry. I can't help but think that this last round of Chamber of Control... sort of swinging around, bringing people in and fining, is because they are about to lose much of their powers. The fining, for instance, is going down. Now, under the previous draft of the law, the Chamber of Control fined 10 times the amount.
Now it's 3.
And now it's going to be 5, I believe.
5. I know TI was pushing for 3, so all right. They said, okay, fine, we'll go.
Yeah, they split the difference or whatever. But
they didn't say 100 times.
So I think this is the last sort of exploitative, expropriative sort of burst from the Chamber of Control here.
Inshallah. Spielpod.com's team of crack lawyers say there is no way that there can be a sanction for attempting an act. The law on political unions, or the political party law, does not have such a possibility. The law clearly states that there should be an illegal donation that is made. And the donation is clearly defined as a sum of money that has already been transferred. So evidently the issue with a lot of this stuff was not the illegal donation, but a contract, which evidently is clearly not in violation of the law. And so, maybe Ivanishvili's lawyers had figured that out or, you know, what. But anyway, there seems to have been no violation of the law in these...
Another aspect of this whole debacle is that under the previous legislation, the Chamber of Control basically was where the buck stopped, whereas now there is judicial oversight and you can... All these decisions have to be referred to court and can be appealed, whereas previously that wasn't the case. So that's a really another big step forward.
Indeed. Indeed. Now, speaking of the comments by Ambassador Bass, the famous Kutaisi guy, Akaki Bobakhidze, former Imereti governor and current head of the Environmental Committee in Parliament, said the main motives for actions of the government of Georgia is the population and not John Bass. He says, quote, "We think that if in Georgia some U.S. representative is in place, then his word is decisive for the population and government. But opinion of not only the U.S. ambassador, but of any other ambassador matters. But this is not a directive. The U.S. ambassador should not give directives to the government of Georgia. And if he does that, then the government obeys. Then I don't know what sort of government this is or what sort of ambassador this is. Are we talking about an independent state or some marionette of the USA?"
Wow.
Says Bobakhidze.
Strong words.
Yeah, exactly.
Strong words from a strong guy.
I don't know. I mean, this was the guy that in 2005 beat up a journalist or something like that. What is it about, you know, the national movement and Imereti, you know, I mean, these people that they keep appointing there and whatever. I mean, why not let Kutaisi elect a mayor? I mean, Nino Bourgenadze was the majoritarian member of parliament in Kutaisi for years. I mean,
Well, I mean, I think this whole Bobakhidze thing is just like, you know, a bit of letting off steam after the national movement in parliament so roundly supported this terrible law and have now had to see the light of day and common sense and so on, he's probably a little bit miffed. But the idea that John Bass was in defence of John Bass was certainly not issuing a directive. He said he was concerned. I mean,
right.
You know.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. This government for, you know, ability to accept constructive criticism is not among its talents. It's many talents. Leader of the opposition party, Our Georgia Free Democrats, Irakli Alasania, says that the Georgian government is creating paramilitary formations in Samegrelo to prepare for confrontation and civil war.
He said, like a complete idiot, Georgia, that there's going to be a new Homs in Zugdidi. He actually said that. I mean, the hundreds of civilians that have died in that, you know, in Homs. I mean, come on. It's just so dumb. What was he thinking? I mean, really.
I don't know. I mean, there were a bunch of videos going around, two videos going around. It was like, I don't know, some journalist following some guy in a uniform. And I mean, there's something about there being something on the website, that they were reservists had guns.
Well, we talked about this 3 weeks ago here. We talked about this very thing. You mentioned the official government press release that there in Samegrelo was being created these reservist units in the villages comprising of whatever it is, 45 to 70 people, and da 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 da. I'm not saying that I'm in favour of this system. I'm not saying that everything is, you know, transparent and open in Samegrelo, where it's all basically run by this Achalaya fella, the dad of the defence minister. And yes, you know, there are clearly some questionable things in Samegrelo, and this is maybe one of them. But to go on record in English in front of the diplomatic corps of your country, and by the way, to be known as the most reasonable and sensible opposition leader and the guy that everyone can get along with and wouldn't mind seeing in power maybe one day, and then to do this Homs stuff and say that there's going to be a civil war. I mean, it's so irresponsible and it's so dumb politically that, you know, yeah, I mean.
Indeed, very, very stupid. And, that usually what that indicates is a small circle, you know, that there's a small number of people advising, and that's dangerous. I mean, considering that, you know, the percentage support that the party has and, you know, whatever else.
And let's reiterate that Alassania is the opposition leader that everybody thinks is cool, basically, right?
Yeah.
He's the one guy that we wouldn't mind, you know, that we sort of like might want to welcome into power one day in the future, right? He's the one sort of guy that has this reputation for being responsible and moderate and da 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 da. And he says this? I mean, it's incredibly disappointing.
And then, you know, the increasingly lucid Christian Democrat, Yorki Targamadze, says regarding the statement, it is an unacceptable way to raise the political temperature ahead of parliamentary elections. Misha said idiocy. And, you know, there you have it.
Achalaya said there's nothing to it. The National Security Council said that it's just a list of names. The evidence that Alassania said he had.
Well, certainly there doesn't seem to be any evidence. Well, you know, take a look. If any shows up, then fine.
Well, no, I mean, like, the point is that, you know, dodgy things happen in Samegrelo all the time, and there should be a spotlight on those things. And, you know, the reservist system itself is deeply flawed and questionable and what the hell is going on there. But regardless of all that, having said all that, Alassani shouldn't have said the Civil War thing.
Indeed. CRRC had another interesting survey for NDI. 70% of respondents are in favor of restoration of Georgian citizenship for Bidzina Ivanishvili. 64% say they're likely to vote if parliamentary elections were held tomorrow, which is a 13% increase since September. NDI is going to publish the rankings of the political parties on the 26th of March. Real TV.
Hold on, we missed one of the key statistics.
Let's hear it, man.
2/3 of people are in favor of Lassica, which I was deeply shocked by.
Interesting. well, you know, why not? You know, Real TV, a government station, you know, owned by I don't know who. Has evidently grossly exaggerated the facts and figures of the survey, and NDI has written them a letter saying we're ticked off.
What did they say?
I don't know. I don't really know. I heard that NDI was annoyed with whatever they said about it. Speaking of which, there was, I can't remember if we mentioned it, in Forbes there was a comment by allegedly the head of AmCham.
Oh, yes, who was not the head of AmCham.
Who was not the head of AmCham.
Was said, allegedly misquoted and so on.
Was supposedly misquoted in Forbes, and they, you know, I don't know, AmCham wrote, said we didn't really say that. I think he was saying that, you know, that George has messed up and... And he's saying
he said that there's a perception of backsliding and so on.
Right. Now, for those from places like the lily white suburbs of Dallas, Texas, who worry about the suburbanization of Tbilisi, starting with the terrible decision to move the United States Embassy to the Northwest Territories rather than to Kurtsanisi, where it should have been, the increase of cars, smog, big box retail outside of town. There will be a Smart Shop supermarket opening next door to the Radisson in the old telecommunications building, right next to the semi-destroyed Emeli building, that is going to open in June. So everybody get ready for a super shopping extravaganza smack dab in the middle of town. And for all the Tbilisi urbanites, this is your chance to not have to spend 8 lari taking a cab out to Goodwill.
Well, it's Goodwill Varka as well.
Yeah, but it's not as big as the good big the, Goodwill. The and big, Goodwill isn't even really that good. No, smart Goodwill's shops are a lot better. You know, smart. I mean, have you been to the ones out in like there's one in Dihomey by a gas station.
No,
they're nice. It's going to be very good. I'm very excited about it. This will be the Dean and DeLuca of Tbilisi. All right, Civil.ge writes that the Georgian government extended its contract with one of the leading lobbying firms in Washington, the Podesta Group, run by the brother of the guy who runs the Center for American Progress, which is the Democratic Party's main sort of think tank. They've been clients since 2010. Lobbying this year is going to cost the Georgian budget $600,000, less than maybe it could have been. That's, you know, campaign advising and everything, and that was... Their person here, or no, that's not, it was Stan Greenberg's guy, Jeremy Rosner, who's, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, that's not the Podesta Group. So that's, Podesta Group is, I think, how to deal with Washington, and then it was Stan Greenberg who was more...
internal strategy, yes.
Election advice.
And allegedly, even if he offered to double Podesta's fee, and they turned him down.
Oh, really?
And now there's a new clause in the contract. They have a contract with the National Security Council. And there's a new clause in the...
Wait, the Georgian National Security Council?
Yes. Uh-huh. The Podesta Group signed their contracts with the Georgian NSC. Uh-huh. And there's a new clause in the contract saying that they will not represent any other political force in Georgia or any force that seeks to change the government in Georgia for 2 years after the contract expires or something.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a nice little blurring of party and state there, but anyway,
yeah, why not? Sure, why not? You know, the parliament approved the cabinet with a new healthcare minister, Zura Chivadashvili,
who, by the way, made headlines by not hiring new assistants. He's keeping on the old.
No way,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to do that?
I assume they have to fire everybody in the ministry.
Know, exactly. get all of your
get all your cousins
well,
employed.
Well, great. He was the head of ISFED, the Election Observation Organization for the 2003 elections.
Mayor of Tbilisi?
Then became the head of the Central Elections Commission. Uh-huh. Then mayor of Tbilisi, where he. Blocked off
Rustaveli on Sundays,
which I loved, and
that was a really good idea.
I hope will happen again, but I don't know. We'll see. And then was in Strasbourg for quite a while, and then Geneva. And I think it was kind of. I mean, I don't know who sort of fell out with. I think it was mainly that the room needed to be made for Ugolava. But it was. I don't think there were huge political complications, but. I think the sense is that in Geneva, I did a good job with the WTO, and that was part of...
What does he know about healthcare?
Who cares?
Right.
But, like, there's a healthcare policy to implement? does anybody have to worry about that? You know, so... let's say best of luck to you. As many of you may have heard of Nana Kakabadze, who's one of those people that on the less informed embassy list, they'll have sort of Nana Kakabadze... you know, civil society activist from some recycled invitation list from, right. you know, 15 years ago.
Whereas it should read, confused and angry woman.
Exactly, yeah. Former, you know, I don't know.
She's the head of the NGO, she's the head of the NGO, former political prisoners for human rights, isn't that right?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. She's very, very close to Javier Celiani and Kedriani. I don't know. She's sort of a long time hanger around her. Anyway, she is quoted here from everyone's favorite, Asibaldo Sibaldi, this past week, and I quote, Georgia is a country where a sick person can become a minister of health. Defending the rights of gays is the propaganda of gays, lesbians, and transsexuals. In such a cultured and traditional country, nobody should dare to make this propaganda, which assures that the youth must be gay if they want to achieve any success in show business. We need to restore Article 121 in the Criminal Code, which was the article against gays and lesbians in the USSR. We will do that when we are in power. Yeah, exactly.
So, former political prisoners for human rights.
Right.
But only certain human rights for certain people.
Setting the record straight. Yeah, thanks, Nana. Okay, all right. Civil.g reports that party funding law will be revised. We already talked about this. It will narrow the circle of entities falling under the law's regulation. The wording directly or indirectly related will be removed. Fines will be reduced. And blah, blah, blah. I hadn't heard about this. Gogi Topadze from Industry Will Save Georgia has joined the Coalition for Georgian Dream.
Yes, but I mean, what's he done for me lately?
Yeah, exactly. Where has he been? Does he have any money, or is he?
Well, he owns Kazbegi, but Kazbegi's been terrible for the last like 5 years. I mean, the quality control in their factories is. It used to be the best beer in Georgia, and now it's like you buy one bottle and it tastes okay. You buy the next bottle and it's about 10 years old and it's full of grit.
Do they still have the thing on the?
They do still have the beer wall on the left bank. They do still have the beer wall. Yeah. Also, apparently, I haven't been, but apparently, behind the beer wall is a frightfully good and very cheap Georgian restaurant.
Huh. All right. So, for those of you that are on the cheap, the you know backpackers and TLGers and that crowd, go to the beer wall sometime. Bring your own container. You know, hit the taps and experience not to be missed, especially when the weather starts improving as it has been. So, Kartu Bank lost 9.4 million lari in February. January's a little worse. It lost 55 million lari. We'll see what happens with the capitalization of Kartu Bank in the coming months. Gheorghe Lomsadze, in everybody's favorite Tamada Tales from Eurasianet, writes about the $27 million U.S. dollars of Russian aid, which disappeared in South Ossetia. Disappearing aid in South Ossetia is sort of a Russian budgetary tradition. The de facto state auditors of Sakhin Valley stated this last week. The who, where, when, why remains unknown. Last week, Medvedev appointed the governor of...
Can you just say that number again, of how much money?
27 million U.S. dollars.
27 million U.S. dollars. So let's say there's 27,000 people live in South Ossetia.
Right. $1,000 a head.
You know, okay.
Right. So what they could have done is just send some platoon down there with a few suitcases and handed out $1,000, $10 crisp $100
bills. Then maybe they vote for the guys that they want them to vote for.
Exactly. You'd think, All right, so Medvedev, remember he's the guy in Russia that had some position, or I can't remember which of the positions he held when, but anyway, so he was some guy who he appointed the governor of Krasnodar region, Alexander Tkachev, as a special representative of the president in Abkhazia. Weird.
And he appointed Temuraz Mamasurov, whatever his name is, the head of North Ossetia, as the special representative in South Ossetia as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Interesting.
And he also appointed Dmitry Rogozin, the incredibly funny firebrand nationalist guy who was previously head of Rodina and ambassador to NATO, as special ambassador to Transnistria.
Oh, he's not the ambassador to NATO anymore?
I don't know. Maybe he doubles up. He's also the deputy prime minister.
What a goofball.
Follow him on Twitter. He's hilarious.
Oh, really? He tweets in English?
Sometimes, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll have to do that. All right. Georgia won a rugby match against Russia, 46-0. That was a little much.
Well, I love the statement from South African, the coach, after the game, who said, it was a good game, but we could have played 30% better.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, you know, a lot of celebration on Facebook, and fair enough, but there was some quite funny ones going, 46-0, this is what happens when numbers are equal.
Yeah. Indeed, indeed. Well, hey, it's just about rugby.
It's a new game. But they did boo the Russian national anthem and heckle the players when the Russian players when they left the pitch, which is not cool.
Oh, that's not so nice.
That's definitely not cool.
That's not so nice. All right. The Economist writes about elections in breakaway regions, upcoming parliamentary elections in Georgia. Georgian democracy is in less than perfect health, the author says, describes the demonizing of Ivanishvili. Activities of the Chamber of Control and Alassani's statements regarding paramilitary groups and things like that. Good little article there. Also an interesting one, quite relevant for Georgia, about Singapore and how sort of ridiculous it is that everybody's trying to become Singapore and Singapore's unique historical circumstances. Media, this is a funny report. Media.ge reports that Resonanci journalist Mari Otarashvili, who wrote an article about how Mikhail Berianidze, a person close to Mskheta Mtianeti governor, was agitating in IDP settlements that they should take part in the de facto elections of de facto South, de facto Ossetia, and vote for Ala Gioeva. 3 days after the article got published, Berianidze called the author and insulted and threatened her. So that's bad. Civil activists are filing a complaint against the Medi TV show Women's Logic, which tries to portray how stupid beautiful women are. So this is great. You get beautiful women on the show, and then you humiliate them. Models are asked simple questions, and then men have to guess if the women know the answer. Often the men themselves don't know the answer, but it strengthens, you know, the stereotype that beautiful women are not so smart. There is a Facebook petition saying that this is stupid and insulting.
So, sorry, I mean, because Imedi is normally so highbrow that this is somehow a departure from their... come on.
Yeah, well, I know, but still, you know, you need some quality, you know, TV like in the West. Following Imedi's example, Rustavi Ori has gone off global TV, has said that it would like to be removed from the network, which is owned by Alexandre Ivanishvili, brother of Bitina. Media.ge reports that Comedy TV got a license to broadcast via cable. Broadcaster will be entertainment type and will air throughout Georgia 8 hours a day.
Great.
Okay, finally. All right. Now, this is interesting. Member of Parliament Rati Maisuradze from the Christian Democrats presented a new legislative initiative according to which media will be prohibited from broadcasting or publicizing photos and video records of any accused person. If they do so, they will have to pay fines.
It's a good idea.
It's a great idea. And, you know, supposedly it's an individual initiative. We checked it out in Parliament, and it's just, he just said, I just think this is a good thing. Be very, very interesting to see where that goes.
Well, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see the excuse that the national movement comes up for not voting for it.
Right. Yeah. Well, or, you know, getting it stuck in committee.
Right.
Or
I mean, but what this refers to, presumably, is the practice of parading, you know, people who allegedly are guilty of crimes on TV, right?
Indeed, which, you know, they do all the time. And, I mean, people get taped, and when things get, you know, intense, then, you know, something that you've said is on TV and is then later used against you in a court of law after all sorts of different politicians up to the highest levels, you know, refer to you as guilty, which is just not so good. Misha and head of parliament, Dr. Bakradze, are in Germany attending a forum called Tracking the Future of Georgia, organized by the German Marshall Fund of the USA, which is a quite an interesting organization, does good stuff. Prime Minister Nika Gilauri has left for Lebanon. Misha criticized some foreign embassies' arrogant and insulting attitude to Georgian citizens, referring to how they deal with visas. Some people think that if they are chiefs and you have to come to them, they have a right to disgrace you and be haughty, make you wait and ask something, and they get pleasure from it. Which, I don't know, evidently has to do with certain embassies, we don't know which, in the Schengen area, and how they treat you when applying for visas. As mentioned before, some beachfront property, quite a bit of beachfront property, in Kobuleti was sold to Rostam Kurtanidze. However, TV25 in Ajada reports that it was sold to Pata Kurtanidze, the director of Aversi. Evidently, it was sold to Rostam, who is Georgian but in Russia. The amount that it was sold for, which is ends up being about 55 lari per square meter, is a tiny amount for Kobuleti beachfront property, but supposedly there's a responsibility to do a fair amount of building in the next couple of years, and actually to build a gigantic hotel. However, this has happened for about the 47th time, and somehow the hotel doesn't get built, so we'll have to see what happens there. Beyond Tbilisi reports that a facade restoration of a building in Kutaisi began before the tender deadline to repair the facade. The work is costing the budget 2.3 million lari. Once again, Beyond Tbilisi reports on how students, teachers, and public servants were bussed to hear Misha's speech about city renovations in Tel Aviv. Kacheti Information Center's reporters and cameras were not allowed into the speech. The state budget will spend 8.6 million lari on the extension of Batumi Boulevard by 2 kilometers.
God, how long is it going to be?
I don't know. Where is it? Is this the one that goes out to the airport, or what's it? What is this?
Batumi might be in Moscow. I mean, it must stretch almost to the airport by now. It's enormous already.
I'll see. Kommersant.ge reports that the Consumer Federation of Georgia published a list of health-threatening sausages and meat products. The list includes...
all of them.
Yeah, exactly. Zaikidze, Ekimoti, Semi-Smoked, Didube Moscow, and Ruistavi. Who would buy a hot dog called Didube Moscow? Like, that's my question.
Still less Ruistavi.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, this question of consumer protection, yeah. You know, the government doesn't really do it so much.
Well, because it's socialist.
Absolutely. Anybody who finds anything out about this, if you find any entities that test or, you know, this, that, water quality, air quality, consumer product quality, you know, food, anything like that. What we can only hope is that the deep and comprehensive free trade agreement by the EU, that the EU will champion this.
Dipta.
And will, is that what it's called?
Dipta.
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 Uh-huh. I thought it was DCFTA, but okay.
Dipta.
So, you know, we can only hope that the Brussels will, you know, bludgeon the Georgian libertarians into having, you know, yep, European standards and food, and then we won't have to worry about any of this stuff.
I'm told that many of these sausages are actually something like 70% fish meal, flavored with like pork flavoring.
Interesting.
So it's ground up fish that wouldn't go into fish fingers.
Well, yeah, what, like what kind of fish?
I mean, really crappy fish.
Like, yeah. Okay. Parliament, speaking of agriculture, approved a VAT exemption for agricultural products produced by local farmers. You know, there's supposedly a tax exemption for software production, but I don't know that they've ever figured out a way to actually implement it. Azerbaijan's Pasha Bank plans to open a branch in Georgia in June. Pasha Bank has already announced vacant positions for legal, credit, risk management, and other departments. Selected candidates will be trained on banking in Baku. Ministry of Education Science started registering people who are interested in getting a 1,000 lari voucher to pursue professional education. Process lasts until April 20th. As mentioned before, the Ministry of Regional Development and Infrastructure will employ 4,000 students during the summer employment program. No word yet on how you get to be one of those 4,000 students.
You queue up for ages outside an office, I think.
Uh-huh. Tabula wrote that USAID and IFC estimate that the Georgian textile industry has great potential and is one of the most competitive on the international market. There are about 200 clothing factories in the country, 95% of which are small and micro enterprises. Now, this story is interesting because... first of all, like, clothing factory, 200 clothing factories. Yeah, I mean, is that the tailors or?
No, like, it's like there's like a lot of small like sock factories. There's a woman that makes socks, for instance, and is very successful. There's a bunch of Turkish owned ones in Ajara, and some Georgian.
This sounds.
No, some
like
Georgian
wishful thinking by
no, 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 no. Some Georgian clothes even get exported to Marks and Spencer's in the UK and stuff. Absolutely, it happens.
Once.
No, there's one supplier, I think. There's been a lot of success stories in this. Talk to Care International; they support some of this stuff as well.
Okay, all right. We'll have to dig deeper. Georgian Railways reported that S&P has promoted the company's, bond rating from B plus to BB-. Black Sea.
Is that junk or is that not junk?
That's junk.
That's still junk.
Okay. I mean, I don't know.
I don't really know.
I'm guessing it's junk, but I don't know. Yeah.
But it's a very good company, Georgian Railways. So yeah, invest in that.
Yeah, exactly. Black Sea Press reports that Misha and Tbilisi Mayor Gigi Ugulava opened the longest ski lift in the Caucasus in Gudauri. It is 2.4.
Is it also the most European ski lift?
The most European. Certified, yes, by the European certification entity. Civil.gg reports that captain of a detained Russian cargo ship has been fined 50,000 lari for violation of navigation rules by the Georgian border guards. According to GBC, a new Iranian air carrier will fly from Tbilisi to a number of destinations in Europe, the Middle East, Central and South Asia from this year, as well as serving CIS countries. London, Rome, Dusseldorf, Dubai, and Delhi are among its likely initial destinations.
Fantasturia. Excellent.
I mean, that would be just incredible. First of all, flying east out of here is a problem, and flying west is not that easy,
right.
You know. I mean, as easy as it should be, especially with all these 4 o'clock departure and arrival times, 4 a.m. That would be just
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to try and get a little more information on that if anybody knows anything. Now that the Iranians own the Sheraton, you know, that's great news. The more the merrier. Black Sea Press reports that the Georgian parliament passed a law on nuclear and radiation security, according to which government has to determine the state strategy of reaction to emergency situations related to radiation. Green Party had a press conference saying that Georgia plans to build a nuclear reactor, and this is bad. There is a photo exhibition, 3 generations, 3 photographers, that is at Karvasla, which is, for those of you who don't know, sort of at the terminus of Chardeni Street.
It's next door to the Sioni Cathedral.
Right, exactly. Okay, the question last week, who was the first Georgian aristocrat landlord type to have bought or owned a grand piano in Georgia? No one got the answer. It was Alexandre Chavchavadze. Street right next to us, named after him.
Bloke who owned Sinandali.
Exactly, exactly. All right, the question this week. On Nowruz, a couple nights ago, Tbilisi was packed with Iranians on holiday, walking up and down Rustaveli, buying stuff.
Tbleran.
You know.
Tbleran.
Tbleran. And just in general, restoring, Tbilisi to its rightful place in the region, and the whole thing was just fantastic. There's a gigantic concert in Sabartalo at the Sporti Sakhli featuring an Iranian who left Iran at the age of 10 and moved to, and now calls home, which Northern European city? All right, which Northern European city? It was a fantastic concert, by the way. At least 80% Iranian there, and very much encourage everybody to participate in the blooming Iranian cultural renaissance happening now in Tbilisi. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Email is tblpod@gmail.com. Send us whatever you want. We'd like to hear from you about stories, anything you think of, things we should report on, any announcements you have. We don't, we get a fair number of stories, but we don't get too many people wanting us to announce stuff, but we're happy to do it unless it's really pointless and stupid. So send us whatever it is you want people to hear about and go to. Last week was Lightnin' Hopkins' 100th birthday. Speaking of clothing, he spent his childhood picking cotton in Centerville, Texas, until he met Dallas bluesman Blind Lemon Jefferson and made the fortuitous decision to go pro singing and playing the guitar. Now, I want all of our listeners to think about what you are wearing right now. It may come from Texas, it may come from Egypt, or it may come from Uzbekistan, but one way or another, somebody planted, picked, spun, wove, and sewed it. This song is called Cotton.
Get late on a sunny evening, poor Lightning gotta go home and take him some rest. Get late on a sunny evening, poor Lightning gotta go home and take some rest. You know I got to pick cotton tomorrow and Monday. Little girl, you know that's gonna be a solid bet. Whoa, I don't weigh but 95 pounds. £100 is too much load for me to put. I don't weigh but 90 pounds, boy. £100 is too much load for me to put. I can straighten up in the field and stoop down Lightning. Head on, boy, and get your sack full. They were talking about cotton. I stood straight up in the field. Looked around trying to find me some shade. Trying to find him some shit. Poor mama sitting down with her pencil and paper, figuring up every dime that the family made. Mississippi too. My daddy was a sack shaker. Kept his eyes straight down that road. Whoa, every time I go way up, he said, go ahead, Lightning, and get me some more. He was talking about cotton. Oh, yeah.